Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Thomas Henry, and today you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. Today I think I got a good topic I want to talk about for a few moments. Today, this topic is simply entitled Church Politics. Who runs the church? Church politics. Who runs the church? I believe this is an interesting topic. I believe this is a very good topic that we should look into today and discuss somewhat. First of all, let's look at the issue from this point of view. If you are looking at my notes here on Blog Talk, you'll see that I got a couple of things at the top of the program. It says, how many times have you heard people say, oh, they are playing politics. I don't like church politics. And they treat the word politics as though it is a bad word. And this program actually started this morning when I was on the phone with one of the bishops, and we were talking about something. He mentioned the word politics, and it made me think I need to do a blog talk on the word politics. If God establishes order, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, that all things be done decently and in order, that tells us God establishes order and says that all things should be done in order, then the problem is not the word politics. The problem is the person who has a problem with the word politics. Because every house must have order. For where there is no order, there is anarchy. There's confusion. Each man does what he wants to do. We can either do what is right in the eyes of God, or we can do what is right in our own eyes. One of the things that is so unique about the book of Judges is that the book of Judges says several times, after a judge died, the people began to do what was right, not in God's eyes, but within their own eyes. Brothers and sisters, do you realize, before we define the word politics and polity and church politics, do you realize that people in the church got what they believe is the right way things should be done? That's why there's so much confusion in the church when it comes to how church should be governed. Because if one was to really read the history of the church objectively, if they were to read the Bible objectively, they will see the kind of polity that the Bible specifically describes. The Bible describes a polity that is a mixture between what we would call Presbyterianism and Episcopal church government. The Bible, it does not show us a strictly congregational type of church government. The Bible does not show us that, because we see that each one of those churches, they cooperated together, they worked together. Each one of them had apostles that they looked up to and committed to. And the other thing is, before we really get into this real deep today, is that if you were to really become a real student of the history. I'm not talking about being subjective in this matter, being very objective to put your blinders off. You would notice that historically speaking, humankind has always gravitated to a leader, one person leading. You see this in the Bible. Moses led them, and then God through Moses established Aaron and then his sons as the high priesthood. You have Joshua lead. You have different other people that are called to lead, the judges. Every time the judge comes up, everybody's attention gets right again, and they start back following God. The judge dies, they fall away from God. In the history of the church, you see where the apostles led these loosely grouped federation of churches, and that was quasi-Episcopal and quasi-Presbyterian in government. And then when the apostleship declined, the pastors of the church, the bishops, began to take on the role of the apostles. And those elders who only ruled at that time now are authorized, according to what we see in history, to now preach, teach, and celebrate the sacraments. Now, what the bishops was doing, now they authorized the elders to do. And what the apostles once did, now the bishops are not doing. And so we see that in the history of the church, we see that the Church of God was never strictly a congregational type church. It was a mixture between Episcopal and Presbyterian church government. But you also see that the church always gravitated towards one leader. You see these synods of bishops that are meeting in these different regions. And sooner or later, the guy who led that synod as a president bishop becomes the metropolitan of that particular area. And then sooner or later, after the metropolitan is developed, we see people gravitating to a provincial head. And that provincial head begins to be head over a group of metropolitans. And then from there, they develop into these individual churches that we see around the world today and all of that. So if the church was congregational to begin with, I highly doubt that those churches, as hard as these Baptists, especially our Caucasian brothers, fight Episcopal-type government, I highly doubt the church was congregational to begin with, because it doesn't fit the paradigm of history. It does not fit history at all. Now, it does fit some of our paradigm, because a lot of us want to do it our way. We want to have it our own way. We want to do church like we want to do it, and we don't want nobody to tell us anything different. We want to be able to worship God in our own way instead of trying to figure out what his way is and worship God his way. For the Bible again says, there's a way that seems right unto man, and the end thereof is destruction. So as I started out saying, the word politics is not a bad word. So we got to figure out what God's way of doing, as in God else has a way. If God does not have a way, then God has left us in the midst of confusion. And the Bible said God is the author of peace and not confusion. But yet and still, we have so many people who like to say God did not leave a certain type of church government in place. God did not leave, we don't even know what bishops are, a lot of people say. And that's one of the most asinine things I ever heard, when a bishop would say, or even an apostle would say, or any clerk would say, that I read scripture, but I don't know what a bishop is, because the Bible does not tell us. They say what a bishop is, but the Bible is very specifically tells us what a bishop is. The point is, the reason why many of us don't see that is because we have our blinders on. And because of our blinders, it's a word that I've been throwing out a whole lot, confirmation bias, we tend not to see what is already revealed specifically in Scripture. So we have many fellowships that come up, and they come up one day, they're gone the next day. They come up one day, they're gone the next day. They come up one day, and they're gone the next day. They come up one day, and they're gone the next day. You understand my point I'm coming at with saying that? That these fellowships, they come alive one day, and the next thing, they're gone. They're gone, they're gone, they're gone, but they raise up, they develop, and what have you. We have a lot of fellowships that come up because people said folks are playing politics, so I couldn't stay a part of that because they didn't let God have his way. But most of the time we got a bunch of immature people in churches. That's what it really is. That's really what it boils down to. We have a lot of immature people in the church who wants to have it their way, and they forget that church is not Burger King. Church, it is not have it your way. Church is have it God's way. And a lot of times what we assume is God's way is not God's way. And so let's define a few words here. Let's look at a few things, and then hopefully you'll understand where I'm getting at with this particular Blog Talk program. Ecclesiastical or church polity is the operational and governance structure of a church or a Christian denomination. It denotes the ministerial structure of a church and the authority relationship between the churches and the churches and the very boards and organizations within that particular denomination. The word politics can be both a noun and a verb. The verb means to engage in political activity, which I think the word is really being limited, because when you talk about church polity, the word polity is where we get the word politics from. So then this word is really not, they're not defining this word, the dictionary is not in the holistic meaning of the word, because they only are keeping it within the political structure. But you understand, the activities associated with the noun or politics with governments of the county or area, especially the debate or conflict between among individual parties having or hoping to achieve power. Now, that second part of the definition I love, the activities of government concerning a political relationship between countries, academic study of government and the state, the activities within an organization that are aimed at improving someone's status or position and are typically considered to be devious or divisive. This is where a lot of people get that definition of when they say people are playing politics. A particular set of political beliefs or principles. I just think they should have just said a particular set of beliefs and principles. The assumption or principle relating to or inherent in a sphere, theory, or thing, especially when concerned with power, status, or in a society. And I think they really should have expanded this definition, because when you deal with church government, the word polity is also used to describe the form of government for a church and all of that. So, and you go in some churches, there are power struggles in the church. And there are power struggles between the bishops and the priests, or what we call elders. There are power struggles between the deacons and the pastors. There are power struggles between, you know, the national bishops and all the state bishops. There are power struggles in the church between bishops and apostles. And brothers and sisters, this thing should not be in the church. Should I say it again? This power struggle, who runs the church, who controls the church, who positions in the church, not be in the church. This is one reason why in the 2016 Congress for the Apostles and Bishops, we are going to have every one of our classes, every one of our programs in the 2016 Congress will be focused on, specifically on, no more schism. That's the theme of 2016, no more schisms. It's time out that we are being divisive with our church government. It's time out that people don't want to submit to leadership properly. It's time out that we stop supporting people who are stubborn and rebellious. It's time out that we stop supporting mess, people politicking in church, people trying to suppress other people in church that they know God is trying to push forward and all that. So people, it's time out for a lot of this mess. It's time that we stop being divisive, because if you really read the scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs, when it speaks of those seven things that God hates, the thing that God calls an abomination is the person who sows discord, the one who calls division, the one who calls division. Interesting. So God said, if you are a person that causes division, God said you are considered to be an abomination in the Bible. Can I show you something real quickly? I want to go to the Old Testament. God told Abraham that he was going to have a child of the promise. Abraham is an old man. He does not see how it's going to happen. So he decides to help God out and give God help, just like a lot of our folks today. We try to help God out. We think that God needs our little trinkets and that God needs our little styles, the way we do stuff, and that God needed it. If it doesn't happen this way, it's not God. That's one reason why I love this year at the Congress, because this year at the Congress, we sung a lot of hymns, and the presence of God met us even in the singing of those great hymns of the church. But a lot of times people take that liberty they have, like Abraham did. I'm going to help God out, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So I'm going to help God out. I'm going to do what it takes to do to get my blessing, since I don't see how God's going to do it. I don't see how God's going to raise me up to be bishop. I don't see how God's going to raise me up to be a pastor. I don't see how he's going to call me to be an elder. So I'm going to get in the way. I'm going to do this and that. And if my leadership don't recognize it, to heck with them. I'm leaving them. I'm going to go to the next bishop who see and values the gifts that's in me. Now, I understand that there are sometimes people that you deal with who will not recognize God using you. But everybody can't be wrong about you. Okay, can I say that one more time? Everybody cannot be wrong about you, brothers and sisters. Sometimes you just need to put the brakes on, hold your horses, and sit down and get trained. Because what you keep saying is God may not be God. Because in the Bible, we have two types of elders in the Bible. We have an elder that rules and an elder that teaches. The elder that teaches is the bishop. Even though in today's society, we have extended what the bishop do to the elders. And the elders don't do them by right. They do them by the authority of their bishop. I know some of you that flies in the face of your teaching, but that's the Bible teaching. That's not what you've been taught. And so we think that, well, I got a right to go. God told me I'm going to be an elder. Well, what kind of elder are you going to be? Because if God's going to say you're going to be an elder, then he's going to call you the way his word said. And his word says that there's an elder that rules and there's an elder that teaches, and the elder that teaches the bishop. So if God called you to be an elder that teach, did he really call you to be a bishop? See, that's why I think a lot of us, the reason why we holler folks playing politics with us and don't understand God, because we ourselves don't understand the scriptures. We ourselves are contending for something that we ourselves do not understand. What we preach is what we've been taught, and we're not preaching what the Bible says. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that everybody said they got a call to teach. It's supposed to be bishop in the church, because most of the bishops today operate as though they're in the office and work in ministry of an apostle. Now, that's up to debate for many people, but I can prove to you that's why our bishops function as in the role that they function today, instead of functioning as the pastor that they should be over a flock over a local church. And that goes to you, show you something else, that a lot of us don't understand the idea of what the Bible calls a church. That's another reason why we fight in church government. That's another reason why there's so much division in the church, because we don't know what the Bible calls a church. We think that the Bible calls that congregation that meets on the corner a church. But the Bible never refers to St. Teresa's over here, or St. Paul's over here, or St. Timothy over here, or a Christian worship center, or First Worship Center, or this worship center, that. No, 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 no. The Bible said the church in Corinth, the church in Antioch, the church in Rome, the church in Ephesus, the church in Crete. Are you feeling me here? The church in Philippi. Are you understanding me? And so we fight over church government, because we take how we do church today and how the reformers did church, and most of the reformers were trying to get away from what they thought was a bad system in Rome, instead of investigating the system properly to see where did this system error as it relates to Scripture. And most of them didn't do that. What they did, they went to the Bible, and they applied their current understanding to the Scriptures, and they came up with all sorts of things. Some came up with strictly a Presbyterian government. Some came up, said we still need bishops. Some said we don't need bishops at all. We need congregation, just the congregation running. And then if you know anything, most of your churches that are loosely congregational church, you can find a plethora of beliefs among those churches. Churches that are more Unitarian in their government, where they have some kind of hierarchy or some kind of flow, usually 9 out of 10 maintain a system of belief. They have a structure, the polity. The churches tend to have a charism about themselves that represent each other. You can tell when you go in a church. Hopefully, people can say that about the apostolic communion of churches, that when people come into those churches, they know that they're in a church that is a part of the apostolic communion of churches. They understand, just like if you're in a Kojic church, somebody should know that when they go into a Kojic church, they should expect a certain type of worship service. They should expect to see certain things in a Kojic church. A lot of times people got their own mindset of this is what church is, and they miss God. They miss the Bible. They miss everything, because what we try to do, we try to take a modern understanding of church and apply it to what the Bible said. The Bible was written not in 2015. The Bible was written a long time ago. And what they did in the first century, they don't do today. That's why a lot of us don't understand the scriptures. It's not hard. It's not hard to understand the scriptures if we really, 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 really research the scriptures. Really research the scriptures. I'm not going to be much long today. I had a lot to say. Just want to rant a little bit. Just want to talk about church politics, because sometimes people confuse the structure of God with the mess that they've been calling order. And no wonder we have so many people starting one fellowship today, part of here, it grows and then it dies. It grows, then it gets into another one. It grows and it dies. They get into another one. It grows and it dies. Because people are rejecting divine order and substituting it for the mess that they have been taught and calling it God's order. It cannot be God's order if it's still fostering confusion. It's like the office of overseer. I read in this book where the book said there is ambiguity and confusion as it relates to the office. Well, how can it be a God-given office if there's so much ambiguity and confusion as it relates to the office and what it is? The reason why there's confusion is because people are trying to proper something and push something that is not divine. They're trying to push something that's going to make them money. They're trying to push something that is going to build their fellowships and thus increase money into their coffers and what have you. Yes, I know the church got to be supported. I'm not even knocking it because I believe in giving to the church. I believe in tithing and giving offering. I believe in sowing into the ministry of the kingdom of God. I believe that that what's a man sows, that shall he also reap. That scripture is not talking, even though it can be applied secondarily to people doing giving and hating and all that stuff, but the scripture is specifically talking about money. Read the context for yourself. See what that word communicated in that scripture. It deals with money, finances. God is not mocked. If you give to God, then God, and to his servants, God will give back to you. That's what the scripture's talking about. But that's a whole different story. We have so many people today, they are fighting against leadership. And sometimes I look around, even though my organization has changed its right name from its original name, but the Apostolic Communion of Churches has been around since my local church in Albany was started in 2003. It was called by that, in that first time, it was called the Christian Life Network of Churches. So that tells you we've been around for a long time. We've seen people come and go. We've seen people that didn't fit our paradigm. They didn't fit our ethos. And we let them go. We dismissed a lot of people. Why? Because they did not fit what we was trying to do. And so, yes, people say, well, they were playing politics. They didn't understand God. They rejected God. No, I didn't reject God. I just rejected some of them because some of them didn't fit what God was calling for us to do. We were trying to be an authentic Christian church that is patterned after the church in the Bible and the church of the first century. And sometime in order to get that, you have to get away from people who have the wrong understanding of God and the wrong understanding of church. Those people that are ready to keep up the confusion, let them go. Those people that are ready to keep up mess, let them go. Those people that want to holler, y'all playing politics, let them go. Because they are the one, when it gets all over with, when God showed them who they are going to be the ones that God showed that they did not know what the Bible said to begin with. I promise you, God is not the God of confusion. And since he's not, and he is the God of order, he has a set order for the church. That's why you see in the Bible, he established apostles. Those apostles established churches. They put bishops over those churches. Those bishops governed those churches with their elders. The bishops were assisted in not the government of the church, but the bishops were assisted in congregational pastoral care by the deacons. That's why in Acts 6, 1 through 6, we see the preachers appointing deacons. Why? Because it's hard to pray and to preach and visit the hospitals and visit homes, and something going to go lacking, especially if you got a family, that if you're trying to preach and then you're trying to study, and because you can't just wait till Wednesday, Saturday night to get a word for Sunday. You can't wait till Wednesday morning or Tuesday night to get a word for Wednesday night. You have to be constantly in the word. And see, a lot of folks don't understand church because they expect their pastors to be gods and superhumans. And they don't think that ministry belongs to them. But a real church understands that everybody has a place in the ministry of the church. Everybody. We all are ministers. That's the one thing I like about the Anglican church. Because when you read their catechism says that there are four orders of ministers. It says laity, deacons, presbyters, and bishops. Four orders of ministers in the church. That means that if you're in a pew, you're a minister. See, that's something that most of us have not been taught. And if we have been taught, a lot of us wouldn't be jumping for a pulpit ministry that have not been even called to that. So who runs the church? God runs the church. He runs the church through those who have he has placed in apostolic authority on a regional basis that pull the regional church expression together, and then those on a local basis we call bishops. Today we call them pastors. The Bible called them bishops. Notice you don't see someone called specifically called pastor in the Bible, but you see them called bishops. We see bishops. Why? Because Acts 20:28 says that God, through the Holy Spirit, set bishops in the church to pastor, feed the flock of God, the church of God. God has a set polity in his church. I promise you, if you look at Scripture, you don't see a purely congregational model. You see a model that is a mixture between Presbyterian and what we call Episcopal. I love the term the Methodist call said it is a connectional policy, a policy where the church is connectional, that we are connected one to another. It's no I or you. It's no the church at Ephesus can do its own thing while the church at Antioch does its own thing and the church at this does. No, no, we all should be cooperating together. One reason why they kept having meeting after council meeting, after council meeting, to bring order to the church, because at that time they didn't have telephones. At that time they didn't have television. So to make sure the church was doing things in order and in line, they had meetings every now and then. So they can strategize and say, this is what we're doing over here in this province. This is what we're doing in this province. So they can synchronize. And so there could be a synthesis of what's going on so that it wouldn't be look like two fellowships fighting against each other. Got people said today, you know, well, I'm really talking about church, or I'm not talking about garments and stuff, but that'll be a whole other discussion itself. But church order. We have congregational policy, some people have, which I think is a travesty to the body of Christ. We have what we call the Episcopal polity. We have what we call also the Presbyterian polity. Because most of your churches anyway, even those that claim to be congregational, meet in association. So technically speaking, even the congregational church are not totally congregational completely, because they send messengers from their church to meet. They call them messengers, but they're really delegates. They send them to association meeting to talk about things. And then even though their churches may have the right to reject what the association says or not, but the thing is, if they claim to be Southern Baptist, then all of them should actually have something about them that shows that they're all a Southern Baptist. If they claim to be American Baptist, they should all have something about themselves that show that they are American Baptist. If they said they are National Baptist, they should all have something to show that they are National Baptist. And everybody's talking about, we don't have bishops. Well, you got a president over your convention. You got a moderator over your convention. You still got a bishop. You just call him by something, a different name. The church polity. Jesus is the head of his church. He has men and women that he has appointed to lead the people of God into perfection. The point is, there don't have to be a lot of division out there. There don't have to be a lot of confusion in the body of Christ. When we just get off our high horses and start doing it God's way, instead of interpreting our thoughts into Scripture and coming up with the mess we've been coming up with lately. I pray that some of my ramblings have made sense to you. I pray that you have understood it. I pray that it has brought light on the Scripture for you, because God has a way. Man has a way. Man's way is always to fight God's way. Man's way is always to fight the will of God. Always. Always. That's why the Bible tells us to try the Spirit, to see if they are of God. Because there are many spirits that went out. There are many spirit antichrists that have went out. So we got to test these things to see if this thing lined up with Scripture. And if we can't find it in Scripture, we got to see whether or not it disagrees with the clear witness of Scripture. I'm through. I don't talk enough. I pray that y'all have got something out of this. Hit me up. Let me know. Log into our website. We have books out there. We have other material out there to be a blessing to you. This has been the Apostolic Voice, and I am Bishop Thomas Henry, Archbishop of the Congress, Archbishop of the Apostolic Communion of Churches. God bless you.